Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
This is Reformation Sunday. It's a time when we celebrate our Protestant heritage. And just a word about Protestant. You know, English is a living language, and the meaning of words change. And like Shakespeare has one of his characters say, I'll kill the person who lets me. And he's using the word let, meaning stands in my way. But what does let mean today? It means give permission. It's just the opposite. And today, we talk about protesters, people who protest, students in Hong Kong protest against the government, people in London protest against Brexit. It's used as a negative, to be against something. But that's not the original meaning of the word. To protest, to be a Protestant, is to stand up for something. It comes from the Latin protestare, to stand up for something. That's a positive. Okay. I'm just going to read some scriptures that were very important to Martin Luther today. First from Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And from 1 Peter, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, now you are God's people. Amen. This is Reformation Sunday, the 501st anniversary of the Protestant Reformation in Europe. And today we celebrate Martin Luther and our heritage. Now, if you can imagine back to October 31st, 1517. Can you go back that far? Okay. The place is Wittenberg, Germany. And in the night, there is the sound of hammering echoing down very narrow streets. Martin Luther is nailing papers to the church door in that city. And these papers that he's nailing to the door are called the 95 Theses. And they are criticisms of some of the practices of the medieval church. He did not realize it at the time, but this was to be a very historic moment. It was to be the spark that started the Protestant Reformation. It was a time in history that saw a lot of upheaval, a lot of change. It's hard for us to imagine the upheaval and the creativity that was going on. When Luther was 9 years old, Columbus sailed the Atlantic. When he was a young man, Michelangelo was painting the Sistine Chapel. Galileo and Copernicus were opening up the heavens. And significantly, at this time, the printing press, which had been sort of the social media of the day, was going through a new development. It was now possible to print pamphlets very cheaply. There had been a new development in printing that allowed that, and this is key to the Reformation. The rise of nationalism was also taking place, the idea of a nation state, a very Western idea. It was on this stage that Martin Luther was to carry out his historic ministry. And again, October 31st, he nails the 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. He's 34 years old. He's a young pastor and a professor of Bible at the university there. He was deeply troubled. He's a religious man, and he was deeply troubled by some of the practices he saw in the church of his day. And the thing that really started everything was the practice of indulgences. The Vatican had just built St. Peter's in Rome, and it was deeply in debt, and the bankers were after it. They wanted their money back. And so to raise funds, Rome decided to sell indulgences. And these were promises that if you paid money, you could be forgiven and escape punishment for your sins after you died. And Luther was upset by this. There was a man by the name of Tetzel who was sent into his area. And Tetzel would come into an area with drums and with banners flying, sort of the television of the day. And he would say, "Now, listen, think of your loved ones. Think of yourself. The moment a coin tinkles in the collection box, a soul flies from purgatory." And Luther, as a pastor, was deeply troubled by this. Where's this in the Bible? He had the feeling that his poor parishioners, and he's acting as a pastor here, he doesn't want to see his parishioners abused and taken advantage of. And he's upset. And this is why he's putting those 95 theses on the church door. He feels the church has lost its way. And he's calling the church back to the sources, back to the scriptures. You know, it's like Lombardi, the coach, supposedly, when he had his football team, you know, and trying to get them back in order, he held up a football and said to them, "Back to the basics, this is a football." Luther, the New Testament scholar, is saying, you know, back to the sources, back to the scriptures. Now, all this was 501 years ago. The world has changed. What does all this have to do with us? It's interesting that Luther himself did not really want to separate from the Church of Rome initially. What he was doing by putting those papers on the church door, and this was the custom of the day, was he was calling for a scholarly debate among professors. This is what, you know, academics do. Even today, you put your ideas out there for peer review, for critique by fellow men and women who are in the profession with you. Publish or perish today. He's putting his ideas out there for debate by fellow professors. But what happens is a printer got hold of them. And the printer translated them into German. And before you know it, people in Germany and Switzerland and Holland are talking about Luther's ideas. And the Protestant Reformation is beginning to take hold. A spark is lit in dry kindling. Now again, 500 years ago, 501 years ago, what does that have to do with us in our modern world? Times have changed. And it's interesting, I think, to look at Luther's legacy, to see how he touches our lives, even right here in South Britain. Can you imagine that? And just a few words about his legacy. We won't cover them all, but a little bit. First of all, we read the Bible in what? English, not in Latin. That's Luther. Luther and those who came after him wanted to translate the scriptures into the language of the common person. And this was at a time when even a lot of priests were ignorant as far as the scriptures were concerned. And Luther's own translation of the Bible into German was just magisterial. What Luther wanted was to hear the farmer reciting scripture as he plowed his field. He wanted to hear the weaver singing scripture to the music of the shuttle. And it's interesting, you know, this carries over into our own tradition. In New England, in old New England, can you believe that this area was one of the most literate places on earth? Old New England. And it was one of the most literate places on earth because you had to read the scriptures. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, male or female, you had to be able to read the scriptures. And if you look at a lot of congregational churches, the pulpit with the open Bible is the highest point in the church. I've been up in Litchfield North Association, and one of the churches there, we had a meeting, and the pulpit and the open Bible were so high, if you went up there, you'd almost bang your head on the ceiling. But that architecture was saying something. It's not modern. But it's saying the importance of the scriptures for everyone. Where else might we see the legacy of Luther? What did we do today? We sang hymns. That's because of Luther. It's hard to believe that at the time, in the Middle Ages, the monks sang. The people did not sing. It's hard to believe that just the clergy sang, not the common people. And I think today, if you look at our churches, we're actually one of the few places in society where people can actually sing together. Can you think of other places? Now, if you look at the New Testament, you'll find that obviously everybody sang. They sang in worship. And as things got more complicated, as you get into Gregorian chants, the music came away from the common people to the clergy. Luther loved music. He thought it was second in importance only to theology. And he also believed that there was no reason why, as he put it, the devil should have all the good tunes. So he would take the popular music of the day, even barroom songs, and put sacred words to the music. And his most famous hymn, the one we opened with today, A Mighty Fortress, was set to a popular German melody of the time. But we sing, and we take it for granted. But that's Luther and his influence. Third, it used to be on the back of our bulletin. I noticed it wasn't today. But remember, there's a little box often on the back of our bulletin that lists all the officers and staff of the church. And it says, it's not there today, but it says the people, the congregation, is the minister to the world. Do you remember that? That's Martin Luther. And again, in medieval society, there was a sharp division between the clergy and the people. If you were religious, you went into the monastery, you separated from the world, and the common people were sort of second-class Christians. If you've been to Europe and visited abbeys, you know in some of those abbeys there was actually a screen that separated the clergy from the unwashed masses. Do you remember that? Have you seen that? Luther, in his study of the scriptures, found very little evidence for this practice. It was obvious in the scriptures that everyone by their baptism was called to be a minister, a little Christ to his or her neighbor. That everyone by baptism was called to be a minister. In our own tradition, ministers, the trained ministers, are set aside for word and sacrament, but it's everybody's job to be a minister, to be that little Christ to one another. And that means that we're to be faithful not just on Sunday morning, but at home and at work. You know, Luther said, if you're going to be a Christian and you're a cobbler, you make good shoes. You don't cut corners. You treat your people right. That's how you express your faith. The ministry of the laity, the priesthood of all believers. That's Martin Luther recalling scripture. Something else. How many of you went to public school? How many of you teach or are active in the school system? Martin Luther, in an age, again, in the Middle Ages, when education was really the a thing for the privileged, Martin Luther said that men and women had to be educated, both men and women, rich and poor. We have our school system today, thanks to the influence of Martin Luther 500 years ago. Okay. Martin Luther wasn't perfect. He, especially as he was old, he was kind of anti-Semitic, anti-Muslim. But if you take his whole life, he was a person of, you know, he was a brilliant man. Endless energy. What he wrote, the amount he wrote in his time is just unbelievable. And a person of faith. He had his limitations, but a person of faith. And I think today on this Reformation Sunday, we rejoice in the dialogue that's taking place between Protestants and Catholics today. And I would just recall our own history again. You know the symbol of our church, the cross over the world, and what it says around it, that they may all be one. That was Jesus' prayer for the unity of his church. And today it is also our prayer as well. But entering into this dialogue, it's good to know our own heritage and to appreciate.